Welcome to another episode of the State of the Arts podcast. This week we're featuring a recording of a conversation we recently had as part of our panel event series, Culture Matters. Culture Matters 3 looked at the state of independent and grassroots cinema today in the UK. We were delighted to host four fascinating guests representing different areas of the North cinema landscape, including Tony Munden, who runs several cinemas in the region with his family. We had Hyde Park Picture House Head of Cinema, Wendy Cook. We also had Sally Focard from the organisation Film Hub North, and then Michael Pierce and Monica Rodriguez, who are in the team behind Scalarama, an annual festival that brings grassroots cinema to communities across the UK. It was an absolute pleasure to host the panellists and discuss everything affecting the cinema landscape today, and of course, the importance of cinema in our communities post-pandemic. I really hope you enjoy listening to the conversation as much as we enjoyed having it. And yeah, thanks for listening back to this special recording of Culture Matters 3 Cinema. I want to ask the panelists about the challenges that they've overcome over the last couple of years, which I'm sure have been many, but how have overcoming those challenges and the changes that you've implemented improved your organizations and what you do, and you know, what do you think you've learned from the last couple of years in a good way? I think first of all I'd like to go to Tony on this one. Tony, obviously, you know, your venues and your teams would have spent a fair deal of time closed over the last couple of years. Do you want to give us a bit of insight into, you know, not only what that's been like, but what you've learned from it and where you are now?
Yeah, thanks, Will. Well, it was all a bit easy, wasn't it? You know, having cinemas, it was get the films in, put them on, everybody was happy. It was a win-win. But, you know, obviously COVID wiped that out and it brought on some significant changes in the industry that we're still getting to grips with. But I think overall, you know, when something goes away, maybe when it comes back, people appreciate it just a little bit more than they, perhaps they did previously. And I think that's what we're seeing from a customer point of view now, is that they're kind of, they've parked COVID. People feel different things about it in different ways, but it's kind of, it's addressed. They've had it, they've had the jabs, they're moving on, and they're very grateful to be back. And you know, obviously we're very grateful that they're back as well. And I think, you know, as an organization, you know, actually, what COVID allowed us to do was to close and reflect and actually spend some time thinking about our business, how we present ourselves, how we interact with our staff. And I think the team has become a lot closer. You know, we've promoted people into roles that they've revealed to us they were capable of managing. Whereas previously, when you're literally selling popcorn every day, trying to get people in bums on seats, you don't necessarily realize the potential that some of the people are who you're working with have got. And so that's been great. And, you know, we've brought on some young staff into key roles in the organisation, and we're really pleased that that's been the case. You know, and as I sit here today, I actually feel this past 2 weeks is a new beginning for cinema. I think everything up until that point has been a battle to overcome the issues of COVID, to get people back in. But I'm feeling the conversation with customers has moved on. They're not talking about spaces in seats anymore. They're not so concerned about wearing masks. They're not necessarily wanting the screens anymore. They just want to come in and enjoy themselves. You know, that release. And I think what the role that cinema now has, and has always had, but now has more than anything, is to bring mental health issues to the front and make people happy. It's very good to go and escape for a couple of hours, out the house, away from the distractions that are there, sit in a room with other people and enjoy the shared experience. And I think people want it more than ever.
That's great, Tony. That's really good to hear. It's really well explained, like the importance that it's going to have on people's well-being and the experience that culture can provide to you. And yeah, Wendy, do you feel the same thing from your perspective with the Picture House?
I think we might be struggling a little bit more to get back to that that safe ground. It's really lovely kind of hearing from other cinemas that do feel that their audiences are kind of like back and feeling really comfortable. we're certainly seeing like our numbers increasing, and I should say that the pitch house is closed for renovation at the moment, so we are running a strange part-time program. It's only like 3 days a week, but I think what we're seeing is that there's still kind of quite, you know, anxiety that it's really difficult to find like a right level for people, and some of it is in relation to COVID safety, but some of it is also just in relation to kind of, I guess, like getting out of the house and like finding like a new pattern of behaviour again that has kind of been lost. And then I think the other thing that we're, you know, struggling with actually is we're presenting quite a lot of specialised film that even like before COVID, before we were struggling with trying to rebuild like audience confidence and, you know, safe patterns of behaviour. Specialised film is still kind of like challenging. And I think while you're totally right, that escapist element and that communal element is so important. And I think where we have had some real fantastic kind of like strong audiences and amazing events, you know, I'm thinking of things that we've done, a few events recently, Tape Collective. We did a fantastic screening before Christmas of Rebel Dykes with Reclaim the Frame. There were ones where there was a real, you know, communal kind of gathering. Had a few at the beginning of the year with Pavilion as well, who are a close partner of ours in Leeds. But I think where we've found some of those events have been strong is not only because of the kind of escapist element of that gathering and that kind of collective spirit, but also kind of coming together and grappling with some complex ideas and some really kind of like difficult topics. And I think I'm touched by the fact that some of those events that we have had that aren't shying away from, you know, specialised film and the stuff that we run and play that doesn't tend to get enough screen time kind of across the country. You know, we are sort of having some successes there with screenings, but at the same time, we're having other ones where, you know, we've got a handful of people in, and it's the same kind of challenges we had 2 years ago where they're fantastic films that maybe aren't getting the exposure. And it's difficult sometimes feeling like, which is the battle I need to fight most. And I want to fight them all. I still want to play the films I want to play, but I really want to kind of welcome in, you know, bigger audiences and grow our numbers and not leave kind of people behind. So it feels like we're not there yet. And it's definitely kind of compounded by not being in our home venue, where I think we feel like we had a bit more control over, you know, over the space, over kind of our communications, over our relationship to our community. So we, some of the spaces we're working within are in like slightly different geographic locations. So it feels like we are kind of away from home as much as we've tried to take people like with us into those new spaces. So yeah, a bit of a work in progress, and it still feels like we're kind of finding our feet again.
That's really interesting to sort of hear the contrast as well from you know, what other cinemas might be going through. And Sally, do you think that obviously you would have been working closely with lots of different types of filmmakers and organisations. Do you have a sense of what the general experiences have been like? Is there a lot of variety? And what was it like for Film Hub North as well?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's interesting to hear Tony and Wendy, because we've seen a really varied kind of picture across the sector. And I mean, some really good news around audiences returning and fantastic over the last couple of weeks. Some of the stats for some of the films have been amazing, but I think it's depended on the situation of the venue or the organisation as to how they're faring. And certainly it feels like we're in recovery. We've not overcome all of those challenges yet. I think one of the biggest things that seems to be universal across all of the organisations we talk to is sort of that loss of a baseline, that loss of the norm. So kind of looking at the finances, not being able to predict and being, you know, confident of what that prediction looks like over the next year, because we're just aware that things may change again. Similar with audience demographics, you know, they've sort of shifted for some of our venues, and some of that's really positive. We have a venue in the Northeast that's in a huge rise in young audiences, seeing a really diverse range of films, which is fantastic, but it's not the case everywhere. I think there's also a section that we support from organisations in the sector that have really struggled and still struggle. So not necessarily the cinema venues, but really important community venues and pop-up and producers that really make the kind of ecology of the North so amazing, but they're struggling to find their feet and struggling to find their sort of routine and back to work and being able to put their programs into cinemas who have been quite rightfully so focused on immediate recovery. So I think there's quite a long way to go. I mean, in terms of the optimism that you mentioned, well, because I think it's a really great way to look at it, I think it's the rise of community, which I'm sure Monica and Michael are going to kind of bring into this conversation. We've seen so much sharing between venues in terms of resources and challenges and best practice, and also audiences really, really valuing kind of what's down the road and making sure that it doesn't go and kind of wanting to go back with their community. And that, I think, has been a fantastic thing to see over the last couple of years.
Excellent. I mean, yeah, and as you say, the community aspects and the change in community role is obviously great to hear about, but something that, yeah, the guys at Scalarama will know loads about as well. What do you guys think? What's your experience been like, and anything that you've learned, and do you sort of echo what Sally's saying about the community side?
Yeah, definitely. I think preparing for this has been really hard, actually, because we've been thinking over the last 2 years, and I think we can all really imagine that those 2 years really seem more like so much has changed, like so much happened. You know, when you're thinking about it, it's almost like this week, wasn't it, two years ago that it was all happening. And it always, you know, it's like sort of slow motion, kind of bit by bit, is like, should cinema still be opening? And I think one of the things Monica and I noticed was that it was almost like some of the event cinema and community cinemas probably got wind of things changing quicker. Because you know, they were doing one-off events. I think it was a real blow, like, to see actually that the cinemas had to close. And I think ever since then, in terms of Scalarama, because we are a sort of nationwide sort of celebration of cinema that incorporates lots of different types of not just cinemas and film clubs, but encouraging people to do it for the first time, and bars and restaurants, and so everyone has been affected in so many different ways. Like, there's so many industries that haven't been supported at all, you know, who would still be part of Scalarama. But also it's sort of, it is the communities, and sometimes it just comes down to an individual. And so we haven't been running for the last 2 years because we just took the decision that even though there was this kind of opening up in 2020 and 2021, we were a bit more wise to sort of different waves of the pandemic. We just felt that we couldn't really rightfully do it if it wasn't going to include everyone who wanted to be in it, and being aware that, and even still to now, like, although we think post-pandemic it isn't, you know, fingers crossed, it's not going to be as serious as it was in 2 years ago and last year. But for lots of vulnerable communities, it's not over at all. And there's this sort of sensitivity about people being left behind. And potential continued risk. So I think for us as a Scalarama, we will, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, this year will be the year that we can return. And yeah, it will be renewed sort of sense of actually how communities come together and support each other. I think everyone's had to reflect on their communities, you know, these last 2 years about, and, you know, this is the stamina for supporting those, and what the role of cinema was for that, you know, when the buildings were closed. So yeah, like, you know, and personally, yeah, it's been extremely tough these last 2 years. But like Tony and sort of said, I think there's some positives as well, you know, amongst all those sort of the seriousness of the pandemic, that some changes have been good. And I think when Monica and I are reflecting on this sort of idea of what sort of happened, is that there was this sort of sense in 2020, at least, that we had a sort of common problem, so that people had to come together. Mm. And I hope that continues, really, because it's kind of very much in Scalarama's ethos, is for people to come together to create something together, you know. So hopefully that will continue.
Well, of course, like, all of you have got, you know, I guess different audiences and communities that you're serving, and then different connections to other cinemas. And I guess it's interesting, you know, with the panel, getting a sense of what the industry view is, because it's you know, so varied, you know, where you're coming from and what kind of roles you play. Is it, you know, I'm getting the feeling that it's still quite early to tell, but, you know, considering the fact that there was no lockdown of cinemas in England, at least over Christmas, does it feel like it's in a healthier place, or that it's in a healthier place, at least, than it seemed like it was going to be when it was, you know, lockdown was at its worst and nothing was open. And, you know, like many creative industries, there were question marks, existential question marks over everything. I mean, what do you guys think it feels like in comparison to to those moments?
Well, I think one of the problems we have is that if you're selling oranges, you can look at how many oranges you sold in Jan 20 and look at how many oranges you sold in Jan 22, and you know what the situation is. What we have to do is try and decide whether Belfast is a bigger film than 1917, which was shown in Q1 in 2020. And it's a difficult question to answer. But what I can say is that Belfast, in our sights, has now outsold 1917. So we're really chuffed about that. And I think it's an indication of audiences' willingness to return. And rather than those audiences that are skewed younger for films like Spider-Man, clearly Belfast is skewing older. And here we are with more people seeing Belfast than saw 1917. And in my opinion, that's the same audience. We've just had half term where we played Sing 2. And so half term in 22 was bigger than half term in 20, was bigger than half term in 19 even. So clearly, in my mind, there is a willingness to return, you know, but we're a mainstream entertainment centre. You know, we get our films from the main distributors, Disney's, Universal, Sony, Paramount, those people, and they account for 90% of what goes onto our screens. We have a desire to show, you know, the more offbeat films, and we do that, but it's with limited success, and we are often prevented from doing so because we've got three single screen sites and one twin. So at the moment, on the three single screen sites, it's Batman for 2 weeks. You know, so there's no opportunity to intersect that with anything other than Batman because them's the rules, you know. So, but our mainstream cinemas, albeit they are independent market town based or, you know, urban village type areas, they're showing strong return. You know, they showed strong return from Bond and then from Bond to Dune to House of Gucci. So West Side Story, it's ramping up. It's not quite where we want it to be across the board, but the signs are this year, providing nothing else happens, it's looking okay.
Well, that's encouraging. And I guess, yeah, there's probably a broader question as well around, I think we're all very aware of like the challenges of streaming and piracy and if you're also if you are a smaller cinema going up against, you know, the big chains, the multiplexes, but what is it that's going to draw people to grassroots or independent cinema, do you think, experientially or program wise or any of it?
I think, you know, Netflix as means people are watching films, so it's another medium where people are consuming films, and you know, they're kind of that they're not necessarily our enemy, they're more our partners in the delivery of those films. You know, I suppose at a very base level, Netflix is a ready meal and we're a restaurant, you know, and every now and again you want a ready meal and every now and again you want a restaurant. It's kind of as simple as that. I think in that analogy also, there is a quality variant. There's not a lot going on Netflix which is going to stand the test of time. There are films that we are showing now, today, that people will still be talking about or still be aware of or might even want to watch again in 10 years' time. There's nothing going on Netflix where I think that is going to be the case. So I think there is a demarcation of quality when a film has a theatrical release. I think the distributors know that, which is why I think a lot of films were held back. Of course, some went straight to streaming. And you've got distributors who have experimented with simultaneous release, but that's brought significant problems with piracy, which has seen their revenues fall off a cliff, as have our own. You know, when we're playing a film such as Matrix, it was difficult because it was being watched illegally by more people than were watching it on the TV or at the cinema. So, you know, and the only real way to cure that is to have a theatrical window. Now, the halcyon days of 90 days of that are probably gone. And that's to do with marketing budgets. You know, when you market a film for theatrical release, you don't want to spend the same money again 3 months down the line to market it for the DVD or the streaming or whatever it is. So it's closed, but actually we're not necessarily seeing a deficit. We can live with 30 days. We can live with 45 days. It's okay. Belfast is on TV right now. We've programmed Belfast at our sites in 2 weeks' time. So, you know, we're confident people are still going to want to come and have a theatrical experience, even though the alternative is on TV at the same time. So, you know, it's not what it used to be. It's more challenging, but I think it's okay. You know, I think the new landscape of simultaneous or shorter windows is okay.
And what does everyone else think with drawing in audiences, or at least trying to, I think as Tony's pointed out, that physical in-person experience, trying to sell that, do you still feel confident that marketing that and convincing people that it's worth getting out for and paying money for is still going to be straightforward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we need to see stream as an opportunity as well. And Tony touched on it there about partnership. I mean, seeing something like Power of the Dog do so well at the cinema and then open that up to an audience on Netflix, I just think it's incredible. It's doing wonders for independent films. But I also don't think cinema's going anywhere. We've shown that now with when the doors reopened. There's a communal experience that you don't get with watching films at home. And I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. But if we look at the whole ecology of the business, then it does us no harm that audiences are seeing a more diverse range of film on streaming sites. It's also been an opportunity over the last couple of years for kind of venues to broaden their own online programme, which has supported access and inclusion and opened up the work that they do to a much broader audience. I mean, from a filmmaker point of view, our talent team, you know, they've reached so many different new up and coming filmmakers by being able to deliver online than they would have been able to do in person. So we need to take the bits of it that have been a real positive over the last couple of years and build on them. But certainly from what we're seeing, that communal experience is more valued than it was before.
That's excellent. I mean, yeah, that's really good to hear. And the guys at the Picture House and Scalarama, do you also feel that optimism about the desire to engage with film in person, not going anywhere?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I was managing the Picture House, I guess, a decade ago or so when Curzon first launched their sort of watch on demand platform. And I remember at the time just being like really anxious about it. Like, oh God, this is going to do us in. And it was fine. I think you just, sometimes I was like, those waves of kind of anxiety about, like, you know, the precarity, they kind of build up. And then I think, you know, over the years, I've just come to understand and really appreciate kind of what it is that, like, we as a cinema do and do well. And increasingly kind of, you know, a lot of the films we play, we gladly play Netflix titles. We gladly play kind of, you know, stuff from movie, things from Curzon, things that, you know, Disney, whatever, I think more and more. And it's viewing it as competition is the same as viewing, like, every single book that's ever been written as competition. Like, it's just another thing that might be a reason someone doesn't decide to come to your venue. And it's exhausting if you think in those terms. It's much nicer to think that these are, I think, you know, like Tony said, it's all opportunities to develop kind of greater audiences for film. And I think, you know, that extends to, you know, rep titles, you know, we're playing, I don't know how many kind of rep films, including It's a Wonderful Life, every single Christmas to, you know, a few hundred people who have seen It's a Wonderful Life 1,000 times before, probably have it at home on DVD, and it's also probably on Channel 4. I think it's sometimes possible to just, like, worry necessarily, and it's much nicer to kind of focus on actually the reasons people are coming, which is about that communal experience, is about kind of what cinema does as a platform, like, who are the voices we amplify. And also sort of what do we do for our kind of local community, whether that's us as employers or kind of us as a, you know, an opportunity for people to kind of meet, to socialise, you know, support for mental health. I increasingly see us as kind of like a local resource across so many different ways in which, you know, it just is different to kind of what at home offer is, which since I start to think about that, I worry less, and I'm a big worrier. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, great. And Michael and Monica, what do you guys think?
I was going to, before Sally spoke, I was going to actually say something similar to what Sally said. I totally agree in the sense of like, sometimes we need to see things as opportunities as well. And there is, I mean, I know this might be a naive thought, but it would be good always to collaborate when it's possible. So the same as movie is collaborating with community cinemas, I don't see why Netflix one day or any other platform could do so. The way I see is Netflix served a purpose at the time as well when the pandemic was kicking in, because a lot of people use that platform and other platforms like Amazon and to watch films, and that it's a form of film watching, not the one that, of course, for example, the people we are here today want to happen, you know, because we believe in cinema as a place to watch films together. But at the same time, this platform served a purpose at the time. And sometimes people found a way to get together and use those platforms. I know, like, say, Escalera Malitza was part of, throughout the pandemic, through some of the Escalera Malitza circles, and where people were joining in, watching films together, and they were using different platforms, everything legal, but still, it was a way of getting together. So we always, I always feel like we should collaborate when it's possible as well, without being too pessimistic about what these platforms offset to others, other forms of film watching. I also believe that, of course, the community spirit, if we want it, and it's almost to think about what community is. So we always, Michael and I, think about community, about today we are forming a community. So it's pretty much of what we think community it's about, and what we are watching and why we are watching it, and why is that we are watching it together. So as much as I wouldn't like to say, oh, Netflix is horrible now, because of course, if you watch too much of these platforms by yourself, you end in an isolation. But at the same time, like, you know, like if a lot of families, for example, were sitting around a table and watching, you know, sitting on a sofa around a television and watching Netflix together, that is for me a community, even if it's a family or if it's, so still, you know, we need to think about what opportunities, and I also think, and just to finish that, the pandemic brought some ways of thinking about working together in a different way. It kind of shake us, and I think it was needed at some point. Although I think like it just only uncovered some of our inefficiencies to how we can watch things, and I mean, and how we can react of to the diversity of mediums and platforms that are out there. And yeah, I thought for me, like, if we could collaborate as well, that would be a bonus. Like, I don't know, like, I'm sure there are always ways to collaborate.
I mean, it's really interesting hearing, I've been getting a sort of sense that actually you're not fighting, it doesn't feel like you're fighting multiple fronts, in that you're having to see off the challenge of Netflix or the pirates or the multiplexes. It doesn't feel like that's the biggest panic. I mean, that's actually, you know, quite optimistic. I think it's positive to hear that that's the case. And when we're talking about community as well, do you guys feel like there's been a shift in the role that your venues or your organizations play in the geographic communities you're in? Like, is there a different relationship now with other creative sectors, not just cinemas, but maybe other venues that are doing other sort of, that present other sort of art? Are you linking up with them more, or are you interacting more with other independents or grassroots organizations across the country? Has there been any shift in the way that your networking and the community around you, if you've felt anything like that?
Oh, I mean, I think from our point of view, our position, I think all independents would say this, is coming out of COVID, we've been very trusted. And I think one of the things is you go to a single screen site or a twin screen site, only the people who are going to see that film are going to be in the foyer. Only the people who are going to see that film are going to be in the auditorium. When you go to a larger venue, multiplex with 10 or 11 screens, there's a mixture of people and they're all going to see different films starting at different times. So the, I think the impression was to stay local, to stay small was a safer thing to do. And of course, things like walking to the cinema, you know, that's a big deal for people now. They don't want to take the car. They don't want to have to park, you know, which then means they can have a glass of wine or a glass of beer while they're watching it, which makes their experience better. So I think that, you know, I remember when we opened the Savoy at Heaton Moor that we went and did a leaflet drop in Didsbury. Now, if you look at it, it's just over the road. What I now realise is that Didsbury needs a cinema because actually Heaton Moor is supported by the Heatons. Didsbury would also support a cinema, and so would Chorlton, and so would half a dozen other suburbs within a, you know, a 10-15 minute ride of where we are. And that's something we've learned. Actually, we are very, very local, and we are key. What we've done is try to spread a bit of the love commercially. So we introduced pizza nights. So this has been a raging success. So virtually every film we show, we'll put a pizza night on. So you go, you get your pizza. We buy that pizza from the restaurant down the road. And in Wilmslow, for instance, since October, we spent £10,000 on pizzas. You know, which, so that's money and you know, commercial vitality we're sharing. So the Rex has a huge foyer downstairs, which used to serve the old main screen. Well, to us, it's just an access route through to our upstairs foyer. But actually, as commercial space, it's very, very valuable. So we've been allowing pop-up stores to settle in there on a, you know, a Saturday and a Sunday free of charge. So they have an opportunity to make some money and benefit from our footfall, and we benefit from the interest that they bring. So we're trying to give back as much as we possibly can. You know, the community has been very kind to us and have supported us, and we're trying to do the same, I guess, on a commercially as much as artistically.
Great. Have anybody else sort of had similar experiences of feeling like the understanding a little bit more their role in their geographic location, or understanding how they sort of interact with people around them, either members of the public or other cultural spaces?
I guess I'd maybe jump in and say, not forced, I've chosen to take us out of our home. So forced by myself, out of our regular community, has been really interesting. And I think since sort of cinemas reopened in like 2020 autumn, we've been programming films in one of our sister venues, which is a music hall from the 1800s. We've been in churches, we've been in community centres, we've been doing regular stuff in the University of Leeds Students' Union. It's a really wide range of spaces that all feel very different to our 1914 single screen cinema. I think it's been really lovely seeing some of our audience from Hyde Park, who are kind of like hyper local, come with us to some of these spaces. And I sort of remember like when the first stuff we did in sort of, I think, September 2020 was at the music hall in the city centre, which is odd, but it had 450 seats. So it was fantastic for social distancing. I remember seeing like regular audiences from Hyde Park who I know like live two streets away, and like having to like fight every urge I had to hug them, and also just to want to know what they've been doing for like 6 months, because I was just someone who sold them tickets, but actually like in my mind they're sort of this, the people who I know, I feel like I'm quite invested in. So I think seeing kind of them, that kind of community kind of follow with us to different screenings and different spaces, knowing that they're not perfect, like, you know, none of them are quite right. It's very very Goldilocks, I guess, at the moment. Though each kind of space does bring with it some people who aren't previously engaged with the picture house as well. So it kind of presents like a strange mixture of kind of like lovely new faces who were able to kind of talk to about the picture house, but also, you know, this appreciation for me that like our core audience are still there and still kind of like waiting for us. And we haven't lost them over what's kind of going to be like 2.5 years, which was meant to be like 12 months. But I think in terms of engaging with like other kind of other sectors and other kind of venues in the sector, it's been, I think for me, like just really inspiring, sort of, it sounds really cliched, but it has been really inspiring in the pandemic, just how like how generous people have been. Like quite early on, I was added into a WhatsApp group when everyone was added into WhatsApp groups, but this was one of cinema programmers across the entire country. And it's still like really active, like it's still kind of buzzing away today. People just like sharing all of their kind of best practice around COVID, experiences of like what's kind of going on, what's doing well, like sharing kind of this film is doing okay, this one is doing terribly, just all the kind of details. And it's been like genuinely kind of like really beautiful, and I think made me feel kind of really connected to a bit of the cinema sector that, not that it hasn't been generous in the past, actually, because, you know, other venues have, you know, when I've kind of asked for, you know, advice or support, have, you know, often kind of been really open and willing to share. But I guess like pre-COVID, it felt like everyone was just so busy and so kind of like just like trying to get through that it was easy to not necessarily like make the time to kind of be generous in that way. And I think now coming out the other side, people are trying to hold on to that, and that's kind of really lovely, and then something kind of that I feel like really positive about.
I mean, that's really good to hear, and it also I think speaks to something I think Monica was getting at about the importance of community, or at least trying to establish one. And it's great if you feel like that's continued beyond that emergency need for a WhatsApp group, you know, almost 2 years ago. Yeah, I think we can definitely revisit talking about the role that we play in our communities as an industry and as organisations. I think it would be good for just the next 5 minutes to do a quick pause and visit some of the questions that we've had coming from the audience. I'm just going to share a couple of questions that we had then. The first one is from Joe, who asks the panelists, after the pandemic hit and cinemas had to close, the summer of 2020 saw a resurgence in the Black Lives Matter movement and discussions around the culture sector about access, with issues also highlighted by historical cultural failures at the Tyneside Cinema. How important do you think it is that cinemas don't seek to just return to normal and follow through with becoming inclusive spaces for both staff and audiences? So there's a lot to unpack there, and it's a really, really important question that Joe's asking. And obviously, when he's talking about access and inclusion, it's about ensuring diversity in gender and race and orientation. And then, of course, things like class and disability as well. And it's obviously something that everyone in the creative sector needs to do more about, the state of the arts included. But obviously, it's something that goes beyond cinema and goes, it's a societal and industry-wide issue. To the second point, I think it should probably give a bit of context. Joe mentioned Tyneside Cinema, and I think he's referencing an event that happened to the cinema a couple of years ago. It's based in Newcastle, Tyneside Cinema, and over 200 employees there put forward claims that there was a systemic issue of sexual harassment and bullying taking place from management towards staff. And I think, as Joe rightly points out, not only should this sort of thing never happen, but it obviously we need to make sure that it doesn't ever happen again. So, that, like I said, there is a lot there, but it's important we discuss it. And I'd like to just throw it out to the panelists, really, to you know, whoever wants to have a go at kicking off discussing it.
I think it's a really good question, and thanks to the person that raised it. And it sort of links into what you were saying before, Will, about kind of what are we assessing now in terms of our roles as organisations and the communities we're in. I mean, on an optimistic note, this conversation is live and active in the organisations we're talking to, but it's a real challenge, and it's something that we're all responsible for, and it certainly won't ever be done and complete. It needs to be an ongoing conversation, particularly around kind of inclusion being broader than just what we see on our screens. I think independent cinemas do really well about considering kind of what goes on our screens and what stories we tell. But I think this question very much is looking at broader than that. It's about the governance of organisations. It's about the curators of that work. It's about who writes about that work and how the staff are treated. And it goes much broader than just what goes on screens. I think there's some resources that I'd like to point people to around inclusive cinema. So the Hub Network across the UK has got a site called Inclusive Cinema, which has got some toolkits and resources around Black Lives Matters, tackling racial injustice, around mental health, first aiders, which we can certainly kind of share after this if that's useful as a resource. I think one of the things that I'd like to see for the future, if we're talking about ongoing actions, is a real prioritization of HR. It's a real gap in organizations, particularly in the independent sector, that have really squeezed budgets. And it makes such a difference for the safe spaces of those, you know, the workforces that we're talking about here. And one just really nice point to highlight is around over the pandemic, we had our first UK cinema sanctuary in Hebden Bridge. So they're now a safe space for their audiences and for their staff, which is a really wonderful, wonderful initiative. So I think there's plenty of learning to be done. But as Wendy said, we're seeing a real open sharing of that. We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago where people are talking about the pledges that they put forward as an organisation from Black Lives Matters and how they're doing with them and being very honest about it being a challenge and how they're kind of overcoming that and involving staff and audiences throughout that conversation. So I'd like to see that open sharing continue, being really honest about where we're at and what we're struggling with.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear that the resources are out there as well, Sally. I think that's something that certainly with the state of the arts, we'd love to get that out to more people as well. So we can think about ways that we can surface that, platform it, give it a little bit more of a spotlight. And do any of the other panelists want to jump in, talk about maybe, I don't know, their perspective from their venues or their take on the whole issue?
Yeah, we reopened with a 2-week Black Lives Matter film programme at our site in Belper. I think it was the strongest 2 weeks of programming we've ever had. The films were utterly superb, but no one came. That was the difficulty that we faced. You know, really the fact we were mid Cultural Recovery Fund allowed us to programme that. But from a commercial viewpoint, it was a disaster. Artistically, stupendous, but financially ruinous. And that's a problem we often face. Our favourite film of last year, it was The Harder They Fall, which was a superb piece of work. And we programmed it at all our sites. And it did okay, but we're talking 20, 25 people. You know, when the mainstream alternative would have been double that. And I think one of the things that we struggle with as a commercial independent cinema is relatively easy access to support to put these programs out. You know, we have an audience, we have a community that supports our cinemas, but we stick with relatively mainstream programming because the cost of doing anything different is prohibitive. And the difficulty in accessing funds through, you know, we're a very tight team. You know, the person that is programming the films is also changing the light bulbs, is also ordering the popcorn, is also cleaning the toilets. You know, it's that kind of thing. We don't have departments. We don't have assistants. We have to get it done. And we've found that, you know, trying to access funding is prohibitive. It just takes too long for what are relatively small amounts of money, and the easy route is just to continue with what we know works. And I think that's an issue that, you know, needs looking at to support us. But then also, what I would also throw this back to people. You know, everybody on this this podcast now, when is the last time that you went to see a film with captions? So we program caption screens on all the films that we show. But when we do, we take a massive hit because hearing people don't want to sit with subtitles on the screen. So James Bond sold out when we put the caption show on. We had 20 people in. We gave West Side Story the 1 o'clock show on New Year's Day with captions, and the audience was decimated. So actually, the public can help by choosing to support a film that has is a caption screening, even though they themselves might not need it, because then we can play caption shows all the time. We don't have to take the hit. So that's a very, very easy way to support your local cinema to do the right thing.
That's really interesting. Yeah, what do the other panelists think of that kind of role in encouraging audience behavior and how that can help drive what cinemas do?
I definitely think it's part of, it's one part of the things that kind of needs to happen. I think a change in kind of behavior is really important. And I think, you know, historically we've had, you know, the same problems with Tony around things like captions, and there is kind of a shift needed. I think, I guess what I'd say probably is our journey specifically in response to, I think, looking at kind of access, but also looking at like how we responded to Black Lives Matter is probably like a bit different because we are in an urban environment, not just an urban environment, but like a really specific, you know, Hyde Park is a really particular kind of community with, you know, a strong student demographic, but also kind of a really strong kind of non-student demographic who are kind of more likely to engage with perhaps like subtitle shows, which then kind of maybe extends to caption shows, but are also more inclined to engage with perhaps like a wider range of film, which I think kind of felt like when we kind of got to that period around like May 2020, and I think some of the conversation was becoming more urgent. Not, it wasn't like a new conversation going on for years, but it was perhaps just being coming to the fore more. It was possible to feel like we at the Pitch House were, you know, in a reasonable position. And I think the challenge for us over the last couple of years has to really been understanding, to really kind of come to understand of how far we had to go, and that the fact that we had a perhaps a more diverse programme, and we perhaps like did work with a slightly more, you know, diverse range of external partners. Our audience in some ways was kind of more, you know, diverse, and we had more kind of accessible performances, not just captioned, but also, you know, relaxed and dementia friendly. None of that actually kind of added up to mean that we were, you know, doing everything we actually could. And I think for us, it's been about kind of trying to shift how we think about that to not just to say that we're, you know, we're doing enough, but actually to say, you know, for us in our specific set of circumstances, are we doing everything we can be doing? And to kind of foreground this in all our decisions. And it's difficult. It's really difficult because, you know, like Tony's saying, there are financial pressures. And, you know, the Pitch House is part of an organisation with two theatres, two heritage theatres with a combined age of 408. and we're a charity, and like 99% of our income comes from tickets. So, you know, the last 2 years have been devastating for us. So trying to sort of put these issues are kind of around access and around like structural inequality that is historic and so deeply rooted that it's really difficult to know like how the hell can I even start to address this. Trying to kind of put that into the fore while people were also worried about going into administration has been a real difficulty. But when we have sort of worked to do it, and I think we are starting to do better, and like I'm starting, which is ridiculous when you think that we are 408 between us, the fact that we're only just beginning. But it feels like it's kind of urgent. And I think, I guess, like going back to like Joe's question, I am trying to make sure that we don't lose track of this as something that is absolutely urgent. And yes, there are challenges, challenges in terms of changing audience behaviours, challenges in terms of changing our organisational behaviours, like looking at like who we hire, who are we kind of like welcoming to, who's not kind of working with us at the moment, why are they not? What are the kind of myriad decisions that we're making that are all kind of combining to say that, you know, there are strong sections of our community who don't feel like safe here in our spaces. It's all hard. But I think like keeping it at the fore at least means that we are, you know, we're starting to scratch at the surface. And hopefully in another 408 years, you know, we'll, I don't know, be somewhere 110 for the Pitch House, but 408 for us as a group. It'd be nice to sort of see, we wouldn't have cracked it, but I'd like to think that we could be better than we are at the moment. And that's something I'm trying to kind of keep in my mind.
No, yeah. Thanks, Wendy. I think that's really powerfully put. Yeah, well, that was great to hear everybody's sort of experiences and suggestions of, you know, what we can do differently. And I really appreciate the question from Joe as well. I think it'd be really good to revisit some of the stuff we were discussing earlier around community and the role of cinema in the community, how it links up with other cultural institutions or other cinemas, or just with your audiences. And it's a broad question, but What do you guys think is the role of not just the organizations you represent, but grassroots and independent cinema in communities now? What can it achieve? What difference can it make? And what do you see its role being in the future?
Just as maybe that's related to the previous questions as well, I think we're going to see really tough times. I think the pandemic kind of maybe was the first time, maybe for a long time in this country, we went through a mass crisis all together that really affected every single part of society. But you know, people around the world have gone through terrible things as well. We're seeing that right now in the news. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to go through. Everyone together to admit that it's really tough. But obviously, the only way to get through it is all together. You know, and I think that pandemic has given a taste of what we can do if we all actually do pull together, and all the examples people have said. And I think Skylarama has felt like that. And I sort of made a mistake before, because actually Skylarama did happen last year, but it wasn't, we didn't do it from top down. It was if people wanted to do Skylarama. And so what we have seen is a resurgence of people working together. And I think that can kind of sometimes, like if you imagine as the ecosystem, it's like if people don't necessarily come to your screenings, as long as you're connected with someone else and you can help them through, you know, offering equipment or advice, and they can get the screen, they can get the audience because they're more connected to the audience. They're doing this pop-up screening where it is. You can feel better about it rather than thinking, oh, they didn't come to my venue, they didn't come to my event, therefore there's no point in doing it. It's actually, it's more sort of intertwined like that. And I think the question before about like pairing up with other organizations, I think that's been really good as well during the pandemic, to see how other like the museum sector or the gallery sector, how they sometimes they're more advanced in the conversations. And I think what we have to see is we do have to see a leap. I think Joe's question is really, really important, because it's not just like the pandemic, it's like these things are historical, you know, things are talking about Black Lives Matter, like Black Lives Matter didn't start in 2020, it was like, this is historical. And sometimes it's like, we're too busy, like sometimes we're so busy running cinemas, we're not in the right circles to have these conversations, and we need to be like, okay, being wrong, you know, and making mistakes. And it's quite hard because social media can be so cruel out there for big organizations, but we have to be more like, able to try something at least, and be prepared to be wrong, because we do need change. We really do. Like, you know, I think when you say about community, I think sometimes in the arts, we always think of audiences and communities of the people who come through the door, rather than actually the community of the people who actually work in the organizations and the staff. And I think that's where it has to start. I think that's what Tony was saying as well, is when we started off, his first reply was actually taking that time out over the last 2 years to actually reflect on the people who we're working with and get to know them better. And this is it. It's endemic, not just the film industry, it's across the it's across everything, isn't it, about the conditions of work. I still think, even though this would have been a good opportunity, but maybe it's the next time, is like, what is cinema's role in these hard times? Like, what is our role? Because I think if we all find that, we will have a purpose. Because I think sometimes we're led a little bit like by Hollywood and the big films, you know, we kind of organize our structure based on when those films come out. And that's kind of what leads us into making the programming decisions. But I think when you look at community cinema, really grassroots cinema that don't rely on that big calendar and look at what their instincts are, they perform this role. And I think that's what me and Mark are finding when we do talk to people. Lots of community cinemas are fulfilling roles which, like through austerity and the cuts, you know, the local councils can't do anymore. So I think, you know, I would like to see, maybe this is just a summary and wrap up, is yeah, all those big problems, they still need to be tackled. And the conversations like this everywhere, especially when there's going to be big policies changing, it needs to involve as many different voices as possible, and really appreciate and respect the people who are tackling, who've been tackling these problems for a long, long time. And just, you know, amplify them and like make resources through them. I think that Monica, I saw this tweet the other day. It sort of said it's really worth investing in, like, if there's any good use of your time now, it's investing in community spaces where you can like practice these questions without feeling a shame to be wrong. Mm. I think that's quite what a community cinema can be. If there's a discussion after a film and you hear what other people think, then that's worth having. And if that's what people had or sold, that doesn't compete with Netflix where you don't have those conversations. So, yeah.
I wanted to add a couple of things as well about like Michael and I having conversations. Felt like it was pretty much our safe spaces. So what do we do consider safe space right now, and what do consider safe space back in 2020? And how the conversation sometimes feels like it hasn't, we're going forward, but sometimes we're still having the same conversations like back in 2019. And I'm sorry to be pessimistic there, but sometimes I feel that's what's happening, not all the time, but sometimes. And I feel like community cinemas sometimes have acquired the role of the governments. Say like Michael and I were based in Liverpool, and we felt like at times we are like living in a complex, but it is complex in terms of traumatic area where they've been going through a lot. And for them having a space where they could watch films, it meant the world to them when they were safe, of course, because the community we are living in at the moment, it's been through a lot, and it's been through a lot of shielding, and people also really struggle, you know, financially as well. And also, like I said, historical trauma with also ties to racism and xenophobia. And so that it's the role of community cinemas in this case were pretty much about healing, you know. So that's what Michael and I, when we were doing, we have to stop Escalarama Merseyside for a while. And we thought, when are we coming back? And yeah, maybe this year. But again, we need to make sure that everyone we are working with are okay. You know, they feel okay, and the space they are watching films are okay. And I don't mean only the building, but I mean like the people they are working with and the people we are in community with. And that role has been really important for people who have actually no place to go because they didn't feel safe with the people they were sitting down next to or the people they were talking to. So I think like communities have that, I mean, community cinemas and grassroots have that possibility and that flexibility. And sometimes we felt that we were like doing the role of like I said, not the local governments, but the government in general, you know, we have, and I know like Elizabeth, if you listen to me, she was doing like the you know, they were distributing DVDs to the vulnerable people back in Lee. And that it's a role that, you know, I feel like the local government should be doing. And I'm sure like the local government supported, they are supporting Michael and I in a lot of projects at the moment. But what I mean is like, you know, like this is our things so important that, you know, we need to remember that we are only like a small organizations. And then another thing is just funding, because that's another story, you know, like how much financially, as Wendy said, in terms of to titles, in terms of like how much community cinemas are struggling and how viable it's certain, you know, like doing certain film programs or other, you know, film programs that they might not bring money in. So yeah, it's constant struggle, but I think they are so important, bringing people together, but also a healing aspect. And I think like making a space safe for people who actually really are suffering and they are traumatized with what's happening around us. So yeah, I think that's what I want to say.
Really powerful and important message from Monica and all the other panelists about the role that our cinemas play in our communities today. I think everyone listening can agree that was a truly insightful conversation, and it was an absolute pleasure to host our panelists. Thanks to Tony, Sally, Wendy, Michael and Monica for joining us, and of course everyone who joined in the panel audience. We'll be back with more Culture Matters events over the course of the year, and of course stay tuned for more episodes of the State of the Arts podcast. Check out our website and our social media to keep up to date with everything going on creatively across the North.